Some feedback about feedback. Welcome to Teaching Writing, Ideas and Strategies. My name is Roger Graves. I'm an Associate Director at the Center for Teaching and Learning at the University of Alberta and Director of Writing Across the Curriculum. Today I'd like to respond to an article I just read in University Affairs called How to Bring Students into the Feedback Loop. It's November 28, 2019, if you're looking for it. What I want to do here is give some feedback to that article. In the article, they identify the central problem as students not looking at the feedback that instructors write about their assignments. And let's review some of the ideas and some of the issues around that. The article begins with the central problem that students don't look at the comments that instructors spend a huge amount of time putting on their assignments. It poses the question, why? Why is that so? Well, the answer, I think, really lies in consulting the research about writing studies, specifically about composition and how students respond to feedback. The reason students don't respond to feedback is that they correctly realize that most of the assignments that they're given with a deadline at the end of the term are summative assignments. You're evaluating them, you're summarizing their performance, giving them a final grade. And when they see that that's the kind of environment that they're in, they're not looking for formative feedback. They're only looking for that summative judgment. The grade is the quickest way to deliver that. And then any kind of comments you put about that paper or that document, they're going to understand as a defense of that grade, largely. Some students will still understand it in the way that you hope, but most students have been conditioned to look at that as, this is a summation of my performance, and that's what that number is supposed to reflect. I'm not doing this paper again in this course. What's the point of looking at the comments? Because I'm not going to be working for you. Now, linked to that is this. There's a problem in that the kind of thing that one instructor is looking for in a paper does not carry over to what other instructors, even in the same department, are often looking for. And so that's another reason that inhibits students from looking at those comments, because their experience has been that you may say this about this particular paper, but when I go to the next course, especially if that course is in another discipline, I'm going to be judged by an entirely different kind of criteria, and that instructor is going to be looking at different kinds of things. They're valuing different things in the writing. And so that means, wow, I'm just not going to transfer the knowledge that whatever it is you're trying to convey to me, that's going to be difficult for me to transfer and understand in this new context. And there's a whole literature on transfer of knowledge about writing that in writing studies that gets at what are some of the problems with that. So here's something that I'm going to recommend. In your syllabus, separate formative evaluations, where you're giving feedback that students can use to get better, and summative feedback, which is a summary, the evaluation at the end of the course. Now let's think a little bit about formative feedback. You can structure your syllabus to include this. One way of doing this, which is many, many instructors use, is to use what are sometimes called staged assignments or nested assignments. And what that means is you break a large term-type project down into its component parts. So one thing people will often do is have a proposal assignment. So you propose what you're going to write that longer paper about, and that becomes, say, 5% of your grade. It's only 250 words. To some extent, in some contexts, it might function as the introduction to the final paper. But what you're really doing there is you're giving students a chance to try out a topic, sort of sketch out how they're going to handle it, and toss that at you so you can give a quick thumbs up or thumbs down on that. What this does is it keeps those students who are going to pick something inappropriate or the scope of their project is way too large, and it gets a hold of them, gets them back into the fold, back on the more or less the right track before they get too far off. The other thing it does is the procrastinators, it gets them started on things because they have to turn something in. Often the second assignment in a nested assignment is something like a annotated bibliography, where you have them identify several sources that they're thinking of using and write summaries of those sources and hand that in. So this gets into where they're starting to do the research, preliminary perhaps, but also it sort of says, hey, if you can't figure out where the research sources are or where to go on the library website to find the correct kind of sources, this sort of gets you started on that and reveals that that's a problem before it's too late. Another kind of second sort of nesting or second stage of the assignment can be doing an outline for the assignment. So that's another way to try to get them to do this. This is the crucial work when they're writing, is the planning of the assignment, the planning of the writing. So coming up with a topic, planning out how they're going to handle it, then doing the research. And what you're trying to do when you're staging or nesting an assignment is break that down into chunks so that you're asking, you're getting them to do those chunks well in advance of like the night before or any kind of crush. And this is going to result in better writing for you to read and better results for them. So the first strategy to get students into the feedback loop is to structure your syllabus so that it has opportunities for formative feedback. So staged assignments is the first strategy. The second one I'm going to advocate for is peer feedback. There's no reason that students can't see each other's proposals when it has to do with the topics. One of the reasons students don't get started on an assignment is they're not sure of what's an appropriate topic. And by making them post their topic descriptions and proposals early on and making that a pass-fail assignment, so it's quick for you to grade, it shows people who are lost or struggling, here's what an appropriate topic would be, because you can see which ones, you don't have to show the grades or which ones are passed or anything, but by seeing the variety of them and understanding which ones are appropriate, then they're going to go, oh, okay, that, I see where I'm going wrong on this. And they get a much better sense of how to set the context for the assignment, how to pick an appropriate topic. But when peers give that feedback, they begin to understand the criteria much, much better. We've used peer feedback extensively at the University of Alberta in the Writing Studies program. We created a course called Writing Studies 102. And in it, we created some software called the Game of Writing. And basically what that software does is it allows, well, it requires students to give feedback to each other on the drafts of their papers. Now, there's been a lot of research on peer feedback, certainly in writing studies that's gone on from the 1980s, 90s, and so on. But what I want to focus on is some research that was done not in writing studies, but in accounting. And this prof was looking at feedback that they were giving in an accounting course, and specifically peer feedback. This article is by Phillips in 2016. It's called The Power of Giving Feedback: Outcomes from Implementing an Online Peer Assessment System. It's in Issues in Accounting Education, Volume 31, page 1 to 15. Here are some of the findings. His survey of the research shows that students find peer feedback more understandable and helpful than instructor feedback. Peers provide more extensive feedback than instructors do, and peers provide a wider array of feedback to drafts. The last point is important because it has the effect of giving student writers a greater sense of audience. The varied feedback demonstrates how differently readers can react to student texts, and that's an important and underdeveloped skill for student writers. Phillips also notes that much of the educational literature in the last 20 years focuses on the validity of peer feedback because that concern is of paramount importance to instructors. He surveyed the results of a wide range of studies, and they show that peer feedback is generally as reliable as instructor feedback, and that feedback from multiple students who are trained well is at least as reliable and valid as a review from subject matter experts. Students often are quite accurate in what they have to say, and the big question for us is how can we use that energy and that acumen in order to get feedback to students? The secondary point about that really is this, that by giving the feedback, students are doing an awful lot of learning about writing. It's not just by receiving it. And this is an absolutely crucial thing. We need to structure opportunities, train students to give feedback, and then get them to do that because they're going to learn an awful lot that we want them to learn about writing by giving that feedback. They're also going to write better text, which is awesome. It'll be great for us to read, right? So that's a great outcome, but it's in the learning that they're doing by giving it. And we know this is true in writing studies because peer tutors and writing centers are the ones who learn an enormous amount by giving all that feedback that they give to students who come into a writing center. And this has great career outcomes for those kids, but that's a really small number of students in terms of the larger student body. So it's peer feedback in classes that we really want to get going. So that's strategy number two. So strategy number one was to structure your syllabus so that there are staged assignments. There are multiple opportunities for formative feedback as students go through the course. Strategy number two is to structure opportunities for peer feedback. Use students to give feedback to each other, both because it saves you an enormous amount of time, but more importantly, because they learn from that experience. And strategy number three is to give your feedback to the group, not necessarily to an individual, the formative feedback that you're going to want to give. And the way to do this is to annotate a student paper. Get a student paper from a previous class or another version of this, the assignment that you're giving to them, and then take that apart, post comments about the different aspects of that paper. What is it that makes it good? Looking at the criteria, your marking criteria, your grading rubric, what on that grading rubric shows up in that student paper that you can point students to, direct their attention to? If you can do that, you're talking to the group now, not to an individual. So this isn't a criticism of a particular person, and they're not going to see it as a criticism of them, but they are going to see it as you trying to tell them, here's what I'm looking for, and here's what it looks like in a real paper. And if you can convey that, again, to the group, that's efficient from your perspective. They're also going to see that as fair because you're trying to give them an opportunity to understand what you're looking for. So those are the three things that I would say you need to think about when you're talking about feedback to students. Thanks for listening. My name is Roger Graves. You can reach me at roger.graves@ualberta.ca. I'm on Twitter on the handle @RogerGraves, all one word, and at my website, weekendwrite.ca.